Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank you once again, even as we are going to go into your word today. Father God Almighty, we commit every heart here into your able hand. Father, we ask, O Lord, that you begin to turn our hearts, O Lord, to your word. We begin to replace every heart of stone with flesh. Father, even as your word will be coming forth, O Lord, Father, we ask, O Lord, that you minister to each and every one yourself, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we've been asking since morning, O Lord, that we don't want to be hearer nor teacher of the word. We want to be doers of the word, so that at the end of the day, we inherit your kingdom with you. Father God Almighty, let it be our portion today, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Please, I would like all the women to move forward, because you'll be doing most of the reading. Can we move forward, please? Praise the Lord. Aren't we all beautiful? Aren't we all beautiful? So this morning, we are going to be looking at attributes of a beautiful in God's eye woman. We are all beautiful now, but we want to be beautiful in God's eye too. So there are a few things because of our time. I have many things here, but I'll just, because of time, anytime I have the opportunity again, I'll continue. But there are some few things here that we need to take home that will make us to be beautiful in his sight. Number one attribute is that we must be a child of God and we have to be conscious of it. We have to keep it in our conscious mind that we are a child of God. How do we achieve that? What do I mean? Let's quickly open our Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 3. If you are there before me, I think Mr. Yoni will be one of my readers today, Mrs. Bolan Leoni and Mrs. Adesanya Wumi. If you are there before me, you just read. John 3, 3. Praise the Lord. We are not going to be merely born again. We have to be conscious of that we are a child of God. If we are going to be that, we have to be, you know, be the doers of the word. We have to be able to study the Bible. We have to be able to pray well. You understand? That is the only condition that we can see God. You understand? The primary aim is that we have to be born again and be conscious of the child of whom we are. You understand? You know, like Prince William. Prince William went to somewhere to clean the toilet. It was everywhere on the knees. Why? Who can tell us why? Because he was a prince. You understand? How many? All of us, we wash toilets. Now we clean toilets in our homes. How many headlines have we made because we've cleaned toilets? No. You have to be conscious that we are a child of God. Whatever we do in our dressing, when people see us, they will see, they will read Christ in us. Because the Bible made us to understand that we are the epistle people read. Let's open our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You know, people should be able to see Christ in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, please. 3, 2. If you are there, please let the women in the house read. When you read, you don't forget. Read, please.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2.
Yes. Praise the Lord. People should be able to read Christ in us. We learned this morning that even whatever we do, including our dressing, that we should aim at pointing people to Christ, that we should not mislead people. So people around us, people, our neighborhood, the streets, they should be able to read Christ in us. Praise the Lord. Then another thing is that, you know, as a child of God, you know, we all want to walk in our Father's, we all want to be able to walk in our Father's house. So we have to be a beautiful in God's eye woman, we have to be a diligent worker. Somebody will ask me, what do I mean? How do we achieve that? Yes, we can achieve that by doing something to promote the kingdom of your Father, to promote the kingdom of God. It can be in your local church, it can be in your neighborhood, international, national, even in the school, everywhere you find yourself. You have to be doing something for God. Let's quickly open our Bible to Genesis 2:15. We can see God himself is the first work. The first worker. Genesis 2:15. Genesis 2:15. to work. Yes, we have to be doing something in the kingdom. You know, he didn't just put them there and say, you just did. He said they should work. You understand? Eh? We have to be doing something in the house of God. You know, God himself is a worker. And even let's look at the life of Jesus Christ himself in John chapter 5, verse 17. John 5, 17. John 5, 17. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, he too was a worker. So what are we doing in the kingdom of God? What are we doing to promote the kingdom in our neighborhood? Even in our home, what are we doing? So we have to be a worker. And look at one interesting here. You know, when Jesus Christ was looking for his disciple, where did he go? He went to a workplace. You know, he went to a workplace. He wants a diligent worker. You know, let's look at Luke 5:5. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. A diligent worker will not give up. You know, this is a professional fisherman. Has been there all night. You know, he was there and, you know, all night. So when Jesus saw him, the way he's diligent at his disciples, you know, he said, oh, this one will be a good disciple. Follow me. Then let's look at Matthew 9:9. Matthew 9:9. Praise the Lord. Matthew was a tax collector, but he was diligent. Maybe Jesus was just looking at him the way he's doing things and say, oh, this one will disciple men for me. You understand? And let's even look at Revelation 3:8. Revelation 3:8. So we have to be doing something in our Father's house.
I know your work. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name.
Praise the Lord. Say he knows our work. If we are not doing anything, what will he recognize? We have to be doing something. Instead of us sitting back and criticizing the people that God are using, we have to step out. Because if you say, oh, some of us say, oh, I don't want to do this because people will start criticizing me now when I come out here and speak. Oh, they'll be looking at my grammar. Who cares about your grammar? Just be doing something because God asked you to do it. If you are going to sit down today and say, oh, I'm not going to do anything because people will say something, then we'll not even come to church because we say, oh, if I go out now, by the time I start to drive, people will complain about my driving. People will say something bad about me. We should just forget about all those things and step out in faith and ask God to keep us. Even in the life of the ministry of Jesus Christ, you can see, you know, remember Dorcas in Acts 9:36-43. We can look at that one at home. Even Lydia, you know, Mary Magdalene, you know, all these people, they played a very leading role in the life of Jesus Christ himself. So we have to do the same too. And as a worker in the house of God, we have to learn patience. Praise the Lord. As a worker, we have to learn patience. We have to be patient. Remember, maybe I've shared this story. When we started this ministry about a few years ago, I met a man whom we started together, and this young man, you know, he taught me a lot of patience because the way he does his thing is different from the way I do my own thing. And I just said to myself, I'm not going to quarrel with him. And I just try and work with him. You know, one day, many things have been happening. One day, when I knew that I have passed the test, it's one day. We're at my house, so we're just eating. Then I've just bought a new dress for my children, and I put the dress in a suitcase. So this young man was eating, and while he was eating, he spilled some of the food on the floor. And quickly he went to the box and picked the cloth and wiped the food, the mess on the floor. Then I looked at him and I just smiled. Then I went upstairs and I went to my room to sleep. Praise the Lord. Then the following day, I said to him, do you know what? I said, I like patience. And I said, you have taught me patience, because sometimes there are many things that he can't tolerate. He can't tolerate you giving him coins. You know, there are lots of things. You know, as a young man, you have your own you know, principle that you want to follow strictly, and me, and which I don't believe in. So that day I told him, I said, thank you for coming my way. I said, you have taught me patience. I said, that is very good. I said, nah. Then he said, oh, sometimes, but you don't demonstrate it enough. I said, when? Then he cited one example. He said, one day that both of us, I did something to you, I knew you were really angry. Then you went out. Then I said, yes, I managed it. I said, no, I managed it better than you. And I said, what did you do? He said, me too, I went out. Then in the evening, we came home, and nobody mentioned it. I said, yes, what do you expect me to do? He said, it's true, I'm angry, but I didn't show it. He said, no, you did. You went out. Praise the Lord. So we have to be patient because, you know, if we are not patient, we will not be able to do anything. We will not even be able to win soul to Christ, because in Acts 1:8, it says that will be his witness. How can we witness to people if we are not patient? You know, some people, because they know you want to witness to them, they will be giving you, they will tell you, oh, when do I meet you? No, please, I don't have time to talk. Then if we are easily discouraged, then we go, you understand? We have to be patient so that we'll be able to achieve, you understand, what we need to achieve. Let's look at Jesus Christ, our perfect example. He waited for how many years for his ministry? 30 years. He waited patiently for 30 years. When he went to the synagogue, when he didn't decide, when he gets it, oh, don't you know I'm the promised one, I'm a child of God, this is my father's work, this, that. No! He sat quietly and listened to what they are saying. That is patient. So we have to be patient with the people, our husband, our children, even everywhere we find ourselves, patience is very important. Yes, we are going to go to the big one now, to our husband. These people, they are the unique man in our lives. So therefore, just like God's word has said that we have to honor, respect, and care for them. When you are married to someone, it's a total package. You can't say because he's nice to me today, I will love him. He didn't even buy me any present for Mother's Day. Oh, I'm not going to care for him. He didn't even remember my date of birth. Oh, he didn't even say happy birthday to me. I'm not going to look after the children today. No, it's a total package. That is why the Bible says that we are helpmates. We have to compliment them. You understand? What they are lacking, we have to compliment them. We have to respect them, you know? We can't say because, I'm not going to, he's doing it to me, so I have to do it back. No, you just do your own bit and pray. You can't change anybody. We have to start from ourselves. We can't change anybody. Let's open our Bible to 1 Peter 3:1-6. 1 Peter 3:1-6. The change. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, like daughter, like mother, like daughter. He said, if we are subjection to our husband, it's a duty that God has. Remember, we have an ordained ministry to help. It's a duty. It's being subjection to him does not make us inferior. No, it is because God asks us to do it, and we have a duty there to perform, which we have to perform. And also, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:1, say that a foolish woman, a foolish woman will pull down his own home by herself. You know, that a wise one will build her own home. You know, if we are not in subjection to them, if we don't honor them, if we don't respect them, we are not building our home. We are pulling it down with our own hand. I pray we'll not pull our home down in Jesus' name by our hand. God will help us and give us all the grace that we need to build our homes in Jesus' name. And another thing is that we should not compare our husband with any other person. He is unique. We should not nag him. You understand? There are some times that things will be very difficult. That is the husband will know, maybe God will be using the woman or whatever to meet some need. We should not be full of ourselves when God is using us to do that. About 3 weeks ago in the house fellowship, we were talking about sharing, that maybe we should be keeping joint accounts or that. To tell you the truth, from my own understanding, men, they share better than we do. They share better than we do. When it's our turn, you know, when God is blessing us, you know, it's getting to our head. Then we start to tell him those things that men doesn't like to hear. Do you think you are the head now? Are you sure you are the father of this place? Look at you. We even need something. You are the father of the house. Please provide. And we know that, you know, maybe some things were not just the way it's supposed to be. We should not. It's a big sin. Because when it is their own turn, you know, because we know that they don't like to hear all this. Nobody will want to hear that, oh, I can't even provide for my own household. No, it's not good. You know, they share better than we do. So I'm encouraging us this morning that whatever role God is using us to fill in our home, that we should humble ourselves and do it to the glory of God, so that at the end of it, God himself will reward us. He can't reward us, you know. We spend better when it's his money than when it is ours. They share better than we do. It is true. Some of you may not agree with me, but from my own observation, and that is it. They share better than we do. So God will give us the grace. We should just ask God for the grace to follow as he leads. You understand? Just follow him. Get along with him. Hate what he hates too. What he doesn't like, you don't like it too. So far, it doesn't contradict the word of God. How many of us, you know, even care anymore about the food, the meal our husband even like most? Do we even bother? I met a lady the other time. She went to cooking class. I said, why? Because the husband likes this, maybe Italian, whatever, and she couldn't do it. Then she went for the class. You know, when was the last time we make him special? When was it? Do we even go out of our way to see, oh, because this meal, my husband likes it, and I don't know how to prepare it. I have to learn it. When was the last time? Do we even care anymore? Do we make his work easy for him because we are to compliment him? Or do we tend to complicate things for him? This morning, the Bible is telling us that we have to be in subjection to our own husband. We should ask God for the grace, so that God will give us the grace to follow as he leads. Because our children are watching. They are watching what we are doing. When we don't show respect for the dad of the house, you know, the children will do the same too. Another point is the children. If we are going to be beautiful in God's eye, we have to train the children in the way of the Lord. Quickly open with me to Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. Praise the Lord. Some people will say, train the child in the way he should go. Some people, they will say, oh, the way I want him to go. No, it's the way of the Lord, because we are Christian. You know? To cope with life, we have to train our children to receive the spiritual training at home. You know, because if the spiritual training is not strong, all other training will be crumbled. If the spiritual aspect is not well taken off, all other ones, you know, it will not make sense. We should lead our children to Christ as soon as possible. Like the other time I said, as soon as they begin to lie, that's what I do. Because in my own case, I remember when Tife and her friend, when they do something silly, then Yinka was younger. If I want to know the truth, I'll ask Yinka. Yinka will say, this is what happened. Then the other one, they will be playing great games. Then one day, during weekend, they always ask us for money, for lollies. So they want to go to the deli too, like their friends. So we normally give them money to go to the deli. Then one day, they went to the deli. So they bought a lot of bubble gum and some lollies. So I look at it, I say, oh, this is too much. Maybe I will keep some for next week, so that next week you'll not be able to go. Adeni was there with them. You know immediately what Adeni said. Adeni said, innocently, a good thing we've kept some. You know, I didn't know that they have kept some, but the girls, they've kept some. So I didn't say, good things, we've kept some, innocently. Then I said, yes, I still have another job. And I took them to Revelation, is it not 2:18, where it says, no liar, we enter the kingdom of God. So I took it from there. I said, I didn't know that you have kept lolly, and I kept some. I said, this one is too much, that you should use it next time. So when we don't miss any opportunity like that, we quickly capture on it, because if we say they are not going to lie, or they are not going to do some, but it's lie. We are deceiving ourselves. Open with me to Psalm 51, verse 5. So we have to quickly catch on it once we see it. And the good thing about this place is that we know our children better because we spend most of the time with them. No uncles to go to, no family. So that's a big advantage on ourselves to study and know our children. Psalm 51, 5. Praise the Lord. See? So that is the reason. We have to quickly, immediately, we begin to see them being funny. We have to capture on that place and begin to minister Christ to them and ourselves. That's why we have to know the Bible well, because if we don't, what we don't have, we cannot give. We should not leave the salvation of our children to the Sunday school teacher or leave it by to chance. No, it is our sole responsibility. It is our sole responsibility to witness Christ to them as soon as they know. As soon as they begin to develop conscience, or as soon as they know what is wrong from what is bad, as soon as they begin to lie, say good thing we've kept some. I didn't know innocently. Then they say, oh, you are no more. Today is the last time you will not follow us to the deli again. And I said, either he follows you or the fool. Do you know what the Bible says about lying? And I took them there. Praise the Lord. Then in the area of the of child training. We should not be too permissive. You know, this is in a where we live now. The environment where we are, if we look well, we see that maybe if we say the environment is permissive, well, I won't blame anybody. But let me tell you one thing about how many, maybe early this year, you know, there was this group of teenagers. I don't know what happened. They did something very terrible. They dropped out of school. Then they had babies, and, you know, they put them on Today Tonight. These people that I'm talking about, maybe they are like 14 or 16. I don't know what happened to them, but their life is not even, it's not in the good shape. You know what happened? So then Today Tonight, they said, oh, the parents are left to pick the pieces. Then when I heard, I said, Lord, the parents are left to pick the pieces. Not the government, the parents. You say, oh, the government allowed this. The parents are left to pick. We not pick any bad pieces from our children in Jesus' name. He said, the parents are left to pick the pieces. So that is why we have to be very careful. Because let's open to Proverbs 29:15. Proverbs 29:15. Praise the Lord. Our children will not bring shame to us in Jesus' name. We should not be too permissive. We should be interested in whatever they do. The books they read, the movies they watch, the clothes they wear, the places they go, their friends. We have to see. My children will come to me, oh, this person, they wear this, they do that. I say, no, you are different. Oh, you don't, my social life is not changing. I say, you are different. Yes, you can't be, you are not other person. You are God, you are a child of God. So you have to be different. The other time they took me to shop. I said, okay, today I even want to know what do you want to buy? Because if I buy something, they say it's not okay. Take me there. I want to see what you want to be wearing. Then they took me around and around, and then they didn't know what to say. They said, okay, we want to do our shopping by the two of us only to come. I don't want you to come. I said, why? Who will pay? I said, why? They said, no, you are not coming. Then they said, oh, they want to shop for underwear. I said, okay, I can stand somewhere. Then you choose, then I will see. But I have to approve what you are buying. Then they said, we are not buying. Then I said, then it means you are not buying because I have to approve it. Yes. They said I should take them to the shop where they will get fitted for underwear to cover their chest. Then they took me there. So when they got there, I saw some. That is half, you know, there's no how you can. I told them, I said, oh, they say, oh, this person wear this. I said, no, you want to, if you want to wear something, you have to wear it in full. I said, I don't believe in half cup. It has to be full. Yes, we have to. It's true, because if we are not careful, we will be carried away, and it's very important. I say, I don't believe in that. Show me, yes. So now, I don't shop for them, because if I shop to them, I'm making a big mistake, because they I'll send it back. But I have to be there to see what they are buying. God will help us in Jesus' name. Another important thing is prayer. That is very important. You know, when we train our children through prayer, it means that we have entered a partnership with God that we cannot parent ourselves, that God will help us. You understand? You know, if we don't, if we have to be praying. We can say, oh, I'm so busy, there are no time for me to pray. We have to have time to pray. We have to pray. Without prayer, we are nothing. We can't do anything. You know? How many of us remember Mrs. Susan Wesley? Mrs. Susan Wesley has how many kids? Nine of her own. 18 altogether. But she still finds time to talk, pray with every child. At least maybe Monday it will be A, Tuesday it will be B, then Thursday it will be, you know, we have to have time. We can't say we can't leave our children like that and say we don't have time. We have to look for time, because we create time for what we like. We have to have time to do it. We have to have time. I said we all run a tight schedule. I said we can still pray. You know your own code. Even as you are running, dropping them, you can write something at your palm here. You know nobody can decode it. Even if as you are looking at you, you'll be praying. When you are alone in the car, you can be praying too. Because when we look around us and see the things that are happening here, we'll know all these teenagers, what they are doing, and the way the government is handling them, you know. What it takes the government is that once they go to the party and there's a fight, and they started to fight, everyone that is there, they have to go to the court. And from the court, they are going to prison. It doesn't matter. So we have to be prayerful. We have to be prayerful. We have to pray for them. Because there's a place of prayer in the training of a child. And that is very important. Let's open our Bible to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I want all of us to be there. Then somebody can read. First Thessalonians 5:17. It has to be constant. It's not when there is trouble. Those of us that even with our children are still small, there's what we call prayer bank. Put it in the bank. When the day comes that the child will use it, the child will use it. We have to be banking prayers. Put it in the prayer bank. You understand? We have to be praying. What I'm doing now, and I know that it will help us. You know, what I do now is that because I find out that sometimes I run a very tight schedule. So I just said to myself, what is the essence of this running from pillar to post? That I don't even have time to pray. Then I said to myself, on Wednesdays, I'm not going to do anything. I'll be alone by myself. If I want to shout in any form, I want to do it. I'll be alone by myself with my phone off. And if I want to be entering their rooms and just be praying. It's not that I don't need money. I need money. Some people say, oh, maybe because you don't need. We need money, but at the end of it, what is the essence of those things we are running after? And let me tell you one thing. As a woman in the house, we have to make the most sacrifice for the happiness of our home. We have to, because God has equipped us to do that. That is the way God has wired us. We have to make the most sacrifice. We have to, because God has given us the grace to do it. So we have to separate time to pray. Because if we look at us, we run a very tight schedule. We are a driver, nurses, doctors, everywhere. You are on call every 24 hours at night. At times, we should even ask God to give us the day to be waking up at night to pray. If we can't have the chance during the day, waking up at night and pray. We have to be praying. Prayer is very important. Even our husband, each time they go out, we should be praying for them too. We should separate time out of the noisy world, out of our busy schedule, and seek God's face concerning our family, concerning our children, concerning our husband, concerning everything that concerns us, even the kingdom of God too. Prayer is very important. It must be effective. It's not going to be one-off or when the day I come to church, that's the only time I'm going to pray. No, it must be every hour, every time you have the opportunity, you must pray. When you are driving, when you are in the shower, you must, because each and every one of us, we have one thing in the life of our children that we don't like, to be honest with ourselves. There's one or two things that in the life of my children that I don't really like and I can't do it by myself. It's only God that can do it. You know, they do some things as we all know, you know, that, you know, we have to just keep on saying it and correct it, you know. And another thing is that, you know, they tend to learn from what we do. One day, my daughter, she was on the phone for a long time. Then I said, oh, Tifa, you've been on the phone for, she said, no, when you talk to your friend, you talk more than this. And I said, I look at myself, I was ashamed. You know, when you talk to your friend, you can be on the phone for 45 minutes and you are telling me, and I say, okay. Anytime I'm going to make a long call, she's not home. Like if I need to talk to somebody for a long time, she won't be home. I'll do it because sometimes she might not even know the purpose of what I'm saying. Maybe it needs prayers or whatever. But she said, when you are on the phone to your friend, you can be there for 45 minutes and you are telling me I should not be too long on the phone. And I said, okay, yeah, it's true. What you have just said is very correct. I'm going to make some adjustments. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1:15. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think I got this one. Second Timothy 1:15, please. I want the one where it says that he's able to keep that we have committed into his hand. Yeah. Okay. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:12. Let's go there. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Say that he's able to keep those things that we have committed into him. See that if we don't commit anything into his hand, what will he keep? If we don't commit our children to the hand of the Lord, there will be nothing. Our husband, there will be nothing. Even ourselves, you know, we have to pray. We have to ask God for wisdom. So in conclusion this morning, can we just rise up on our feet? We've looked at the attribute of a beautiful in God's eye woman. We have to be born again and be conscious of it. We have to be patient with our co-laborers. We have to respect and love our husband. And we have to train our children in the way of the Lord. So this morning, I want each and every one of us to pray on what we have heard this morning. We are going to commit our children, our husband. Let's pray. Let's thank God for what we have heard this morning. Let's begin to thank him for what you had heard this morning.